The scripture lesson chosen for this morning is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. John 17, 20 to 26. Listen to the word of the Lord. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me when I am, where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of the Lord. One day, Joe, Bob, and Dave were hiking in a wilderness when they came upon a large, raging, violent river. They needed to get to the other side, but had no idea what to do, how to do so. Joe prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength to cross this river." Poof, God gave him a big arms and strong legs, and he was able to swim across the river in about 2 hours, although he almost drowned a couple of times. Seeing this, Dave tried to pray better. He prayed, "Please, God, give me the strength and the tools to cross this river." Poof, God gave him a rowboat, and he was able to row across the river in about an hour after almost capsizing the boat a couple of times. And, Dave has seen how this works. So he prayed a better prayer. He says, "Please, God, give me the strength and the tools and the intelligence to cross this river." Poof, God turned him into a woman. She looked at the map, hiked upstream for a short distance, and walked across the bridge. Now, talking about prayers, do you know that Jesus prayed for you? I'm not talking about the conceptual prayer that Jesus is now praying in heaven for all of us. Of course, he does. But I'm talking about Jesus prayed for us in the Bible. John 17 records Jesus' prayer after the Last Supper. It's known as his farewell prayer or his high priestly prayer. And in this prayer, you are included. This is why he said, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." So by these, he meant his disciples. So he said he's asking God not only on behalf of these disciples, but also those who will believe in him through the word shared by these disciples. So he's actually praying for the future believers. He's imagining, envisioning us in his prayer. So what does he ask for? He says that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This oneness is the core mission of Jesus Christ. Throughout the gospel, he revealed his intimacy with God, the Father, and that they are one, a special relationship that he wants the entire world to join, to be part of it. Of course, all religions talk about oneness of the world. Then what is the difference between the oneness Jesus taught and the rest of the religions in the world? And the reason all religions are seeking this oneness is because we all sense, you know, that this world is a broken world, a world of broken relationships. All religions throughout history try to restore this unity of humanity. The difference is religions are human attempt to create the oneness through philosophy or self-help type, rituals. However, we have ignored the sinful nature of humanity that continue to create a broken world, a broken relationships, and cannot be recovered by self-help or philosophical help or conceptual help, but we need God's help. Christianity, on the other hand, is God's attempt to reconcile with us, because it's impossible for sinful human beings to reconcile with one another. And Jesus Christ is the price God pays for this reconciliation and redemption. This is a triangle relationship. Each of us will reconcile with God, and the evidence of that reconciliation is shown in our ability to have a healthy relationship with other people. So a Christian is known by his or her relationships with others. If someone calls himself or herself a Christian, but his or her relationship stinks, he or she is a Christian in name only, or maybe Sino, right? C-I-N-O. That's why when the lawyers ask Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What the greatest commandment is, Jesus gave them two instead of just one. And because he knew what they were thinking about. They want to justify their prejudice against others. In the context, Jesus used a Samaritan as an example, the Good Samaritan. So they wanted to justify their prejudice against others by claiming that loving God is all you need. It is the greatest and the only commandment. And so by including loving one another as part of the great commandment, as part of Jesus' answer for the great commandment, Jesus was implying that if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, your love for God is fake. Loving others is the proof that you love God. A.W. Tozer describes this triangle relationships with this way. He says, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard, which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be, were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God and strive for closer relationships. Mainly he's saying that human attempts are not as good as our focus on Jesus Christ. Now, right before he went to the cross, Jesus envisioned the day the world will become one through this triangle relationship. How do we become one and fulfill Jesus' vision? That is the question. Just like this morning when Sam Hedder was praying, he mentioned the brokenness of this world, countries against countries. It is sad to see that this 2,000 years later, this vision is not yet fulfilled. So we have this responsibility. So let us use the word one, O-N-E, as an acrostic to cover the three key elements of this triangle relationship, of this reconciliation of the world. Obey Jesus Christ to know God. O in one, O-N-E, is for obey Jesus Christ to know God. Now, the Americans are not comfortable with the word obey because we emphasize human rights and equality. Whom should we obey? So we are not used to obedience. It's a tough lesson to learn comparatively to other cultures that requires people to obey to someone who is older or in authority. So why should we obey Jesus Christ then? Because God sent him to make God known. Only in obeying him, we are able to know God. He said in here, in verse 25 and 26, "Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." Jürgen Moltmann, one of the greatest German theologians of the 20th century, who is still alive, by the way, says, "Thank God for Jesus Christ, because without him, I will have no way to know God." The point is, without Jesus Christ, our understanding of God is nothing but philosophical or conceptual, because human beings have lost the ability to know God. John Calvin calls this total depravity. You know, the tulip of Presbyterian Reform theology. The first one is total depravity. Human beings are totally depraved because we are blinded by sin. And so we need Jesus as God in flesh to give us the revelation. Therefore, obeying Jesus Christ is the only way to know God. Only through him we are reconciled to God. And nurture God's love and presence in you. So the second N is for nurture God's love and presence in you. Jesus said in verse 26, "I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." So our reconciliation with God brings God's love in us, and that's how we are able to reconcile with one another. Without God's sacrificial love in us, we don't know what the agape love is. Because without it, we can't rebuild this world into oneness, because human love is extremely limited. we are not only depraved to know God, but also depraved to love others as self. That's why when we are able to have a healthy relationship with others, it reveals that we have God's love in us. Along with that love, the presence of Christ is also in you. Your ability to get along with people is a sign and symbol of your salvation. Through reconciliation with God, you are in tune with God, who is the tuning fork, the standard. So, obey Jesus Christ to know God and nurture God's love and presence in you. The last one is E for extend the reconciliation until the world becomes one. Don't lose hope. We have this responsibility to extend the reconciliation until the world becomes one in God. As mentioned above, we are reconciled with God because of the message shared by the disciples, and we become one with God. Jesus Christ is one with God, and other believers are one with God. Those of us have become one with God are responsible to share this good news with others. As the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Notice it says we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are diplomats of the kingdom of God. We are what Tozer would call the piano tuners, to tune the pianos which represent each individual's to be in tune with God and therefore automatically in tune with one another. So there you have it. The three components of reconciliation of the world to become one with God. Obey Jesus Christ to know God. Nurture God's love and presence in you. Extend the reconciliation until the world becomes one. Today, we are also observing communion, which is a Christian symbol of oneness. As we eat from one bread, which is the symbol of the body of Christ, we remember that we are one body. As we drink the wine, which is the symbol of the blood of reconciliation through the love of Jesus Christ, this love of reconciliation is now in us. So let us be one. Amen.